Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 18 December 2023. And boy, are you in for a good time tonight. Listen to our guest tonight. I'll bring him up just a minute. Before I do that, though, just an announcement. Of course, coming up next week has been a holiday weekend. We'll be off air Monday night. It will be a replay, of course. But everything will be scheduled in for the rest of the week. I want you all to know that in advance. And also want you to know that I found something I think all of you might want to look at. It was sent to me. And when I looked at this, it's just hard to believe that Freemasons run about every corporation in this country. I'm not making it up. I'm serious. I have a 21-page report. If you want a copy of it, you're welcome to have it. You send a donation to cover the postage and handling, say, $8 or $10, whatever, because the postage is so high. 21-page report on all the corporations and businesses that the Masonic Lodge does have, that were the heads of anyway, it was founded. And folks, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Tonight's guest, we're going to discuss some of this information, by the way. We're going to talk to a gentleman named Micah Van Hus about a book he wrote entitled Secret Societies. We're going to discuss the Illuminati. We're going to talk about the Skull and Bones, perhaps, and the Bilderbergs, and so much more than that. This gentleman is the host of and producer of Marginal Mysteries for the Southwest Radio Ministries. He just released The Earth as It Was, a new book, served 4 years in duty U.S. Marine Corps, sniper, served Department of Defense contractor in both Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, this guy's been around, okay? And it's just amazing what all he's been involved in and done. He was a member of the House of Representatives in Tennessee. He sponsored the Tennessee Heartbeat Bill. He's done a lot of things, folks. I think he's a very well-rounded individual and been investigating this information now for over 20 years. He's just absolutely been phenomenal in research. I looked him up online, looked up his website. Michael Van Hus is well qualified to speak on the topic tonight, so y'all might want to stay tuned. And if you want to record this program, of course, you're welcome to. You can get a copy if you want to from us, just let us know. This program, folks, is going to be very, very vital and important to help us understand the secret societies that are all around us. We don't know about them, of course, in general, because they are secret. But let's welcome Michael Van Hus. Michael, you there?
I am there, Pastor.
It is so good to have you, sir. It's an honor to have you, and I do mean that. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, Pastor Paul, I really appreciate you having me and look forward to our discussion tonight.
Well, tonight's your program, too, so you make yourself quite at home. I tried to cover a little bit of your bio. Obviously, I couldn't cover it all, but anything that you'd like to add to your biography?
Oh, no, sir. I don't really want to talk about myself. I want to talk about the secret societies and honoring the Lord and whatever you want to talk about.
Oh, my goodness, we could spend hours on this topic alone. We really could.
Sir.
But your new book's coming out in March, Secret Societies, I'm anxious to read that and know about this. But how long have you been looking into this secret societies?
So I started the secret societies book about a year ago. March, I released my second book, The Earth As It Was, as you mentioned. And my next book is Secret Societies, to be released in March again. So now I've been interested in this stuff for most of my adult life. But as far as doing the heavy research and the writing, about a year now.
We got a lot to talk about, but tell us, what was the first thing that you saw that piqued your interest enough to go into this in a lot in depth? What was the first thing you sort of looked at and thought, wow, I got to find out about this?
Well, I watched a video on the Illuminati, and everybody's talking about the Illuminati. There's movies alluded to the Illuminati, and during my research, come to find out the Illuminati is actually not that big of a deal. The Illuminati only lasted for about 25 years. And I think most people just kind of give anything secret. They put it under the umbrella of the Illuminati, though. The Illuminati publicly only lasted during the 1700s. It's not around anymore publicly. Now, behind the scenes is another story. But, the Illuminati, and most people think, you know, everything going on is with the Illuminati. And really, it's more about the World Economic Forum, the financial institutions, the Bilderberg, as you mentioned, and a little bit to do with the Freemasons as well. But it goes much, much deeper, and when you're ready to get into that, we'll get into that too.
Well, would it be a fair statement to say the Illuminati was maybe the foundation for all this?
No, absolutely not. When we talk about the foundation for what's going on, I believe it goes back to before the flood of Noah. Now, the oldest secret society that we know of in the world is the Snake Brotherhood, the Serpent Brotherhood. And those are the religions before the flood of Noah. So I believe that so let me give you a little bit of what I think is going on behind the scenes so I can tie it back to our ancient times. First of all, I believe that there is knowledge from the fallen angels that has been passed through these millennium, and they pass them through secret societies. It's not just one secret society. It's all kinds of secret societies. They pass this knowledge, and that knowledge in general, we'll get more in depth into it, but that knowledge of the Watchers in general is telling man to become enlightened, telling man that they will become as gods one day. What did the serpent tell to Eve in the garden?
Sure.
So you can be as gods. So this knowledge of the Watchers, the knowledge that's passed through secret societies, is that of enlightenment. We get into the New Age movement, theosophy, hermeticism, all the way back thousands of years. Basically, what these secret societies at the heads are trying to do is usher in a final battle against the quote-unquote oppressive God of the Bible. And they're going to get their wish. They will have their battle against God, their final battle.
Yes.
That will be the Battle of Armageddon. Now, they won't win, but they will get their battle. So we're talking about thousands of years in the past. Mankind is looking for enlightenment. Mankind is trying to become gods themselves. And they think that they're going to beat the Creator one day. So that's the overhead view. And whenever you're ready to get deeper into anything, I'm happy to.
Well, you know, then nothing's really changed. I mean, obviously, you said it. Man's still trying to become God. I mean, man is still trying to make his own decisions, make his own morals, make his own life the way he wants to, the way he wants to shape it. They foolishly think that we're actually outsmarting God. But we that know Christ as our Savior and understand His Word realize nothing happens that our Father didn't already know about. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And, you know, Jesus himself, a lot of Christians only know that Jesus came to the earth to save us from our sins. And I am so thankful for that. But Jesus actually came for three reasons. Jesus came to the earth for three reasons. One was to save us from our sins. Two was to defeat the princes of the power of the air. Now, who are these princes of the power of the air? The answer is in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 7, 8, and 9. This is the point in Scripture right after the Tower of Babel that God divides the world into 70 to 72 nations, and he sets the watchers over the nations, and he chooses Israel in Deuteronomy 32, 9. And so what happens at the Tower of Babel? God confounds the people's language, and the people are split into 70 nations. Well, what happens just before Jesus ascends, and when Jesus ascends in heaven after he dies on the cross? He sends out 70 disciples into the world who
That's
all preach,
true.
And everyone hears those disciples speaking in their own language. That is the reversal of the Tower of Babel. That's one of the. That's two of the reasons Jesus came, and I mixed up the third one in there. He came to defeat the princes of the power of the air. I believe it's 1 Corinthians. Jesus says he has defeated these principalities. And so, yes, there were three reasons why Jesus came. And, you know, it goes way back into ancient times.
You know, nothing in the Bible is by happenstance. The numbers make the numbers you mentioned, 70 nations, you know, different. I mean, all this is numbers. And God uses numbers to bring forth his perfect plan, his sovereign plan. So this started back in the Tower of Babel. We know that. And you mentioned, of course, I read about Nimrod being the first great architect, the Masonic lodge, so to speak. But we see this happening again. And man never learned from history. And we keep repeating the same things over and over and over, never accomplish anything with it, really, except to destroy the earth, destroy the people. But they never learn, do they?
No, sir. We have, as you mentioned, we have a history as humankind of being given something good from God and totally destroying it. We're talking about the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, destroying the creation that God gave them through their sin. And then we get to the flood. The humans destroy, along with the watchers, that's Genesis chapter 6, they help humans destroy God's creation, and God resets it once again. And so Noah gets off the ark, and what does God tell Noah to do and his sons? He says, be fruitful and multiply, spread throughout the earth. Well, as the next two chapters later, what happens with Nimrod? Nimrod brings the people together, and they make a tower and a city so that they can make a name for themselves. In other words, they're gathering together in opposition to what God told them to do instead of multiplying and spreading throughout the earth. So again, humankind has destroyed God's fresh creation with the flood. And so when we get into Nimrod, if you're ready to get into the origins of the secret societies, otherwise we can keep talking until then.
Oh, we're going for hours on this. I mean, I wish we had more than 1 hour. We will do another follow-up sometime in the near future, if you don't mind, because this is so interesting.
Yes, sir.
But you go ahead now. You go in the direction that you think we should go now. I totally trust you. You're the knowledge on this. You go in the direction you think we should go to enlighten everybody listening and maybe spread some knowledge through our audience tonight,
yes,
and share with others.
Well, then let's start with what the secret societies are trying to do, as we said, usher in a final battle with the Creator and usher mankind into enlightenment and becoming gods ourselves. Let's start with the beginning of that. Now, I appreciate you saying that I know a lot on this. I would say I don't know a lot, but I have learned a lot through these studies and through writing this book. And Daniel, chapter 12, I believe, but Daniel, the book of Daniel says, towards the end, knowledge will be increased. And so we see, whether we're at the end or not, that God reveals knowledge, more and more knowledge to mankind. Now, obviously, with the internet, all the information that's out there. But anyway, Daniel says that knowledge will be increased. So let's start where I believe and where my book, Secret Society, Blood Never Sleeps, where this book starts the theory of what's going on. First of all, there are kind of two sects in Freemasonry. One sect says that Freemasonry is founded on King Solomon, the great builder, the great architect, and the wise man. Whereas there's another sect of Freemasonry that say that the first excellent grandmaster was Nimrod himself, as we just mentioned, building Babylon and probably the Tower of Babel, though the Bible doesn't say that. The story begins with the secret societies. Now, we don't know a lot about the antediluvian world and the serpent brotherhood, that the secret societies that took place before the flood. But we do know in Genesis chapter 6 that the watchers, the angels, descended, slept with human women and had Nephilim offspring, giant offspring, and that's the giants we read out in Scripture. So now the Book of Enoch is not Scripture. The Book of Enoch is apocryphal. It is not inspired word of God. But we do have a lot of ancient writings that give us more information that the Bible just doesn't tell us. Now, the Bible tells us the most important thing, and that is Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus. And so as we study these fringe things on the edges, it's very important that people do not lose sight of the fact that Jesus is the reason for history and the reason in the center of the Bible. And so people need to know Jesus as their Savior. So we can read all kinds of works, from Jewish writings to the Book of Enoch, to all kinds of ancient writings. But the Book of Enoch does say a few things that the Bible doesn't say, such as the angels taught forbidden knowledge to mankind. Now, there is one portion of Scripture that says the angels taught knowledge to mankind. That's Revelation, I believe it's 21:17. It could be 17:21, but I think it's Revelation 21:17. A man is measuring heaven in John's dream, and it says he's measuring with the cubit. That is the measurement of a man. That is of the angel. So Revelation 21:17 is saying that the angels taught the cubit to mankind, right there in Scripture. Okay, so let's get back to on track. Genesis chapter 4 is Lamech and his two wives and his three sons. We got Jubal and Jabal, the primary that are mentioned. Now, the book of Genesis does not expound upon this, but there are over a dozen ancient writings that talk about what Jubal and Jabal did. We're talking about over a dozen, many Arab works. So basically, the sons of Lamech knew that God was going to destroy the world with either fire or water. This is before the flood. But they didn't know which, so they took the knowledge that the watchers had taught to mankind. Let's pause for a second. According to the apocryphal books, the watchers taught abortion, weapons, armor, makeup, astronomy, astrology, the mixing of herbs, all kinds of knowledge that mankind was not supposed to have. They taught that. So the sons of Lamech, in these ancient accounts, over a dozen of them, recorded that knowledge on two different pillars, one to survive water, one to survive fire. So the flood happens, and then according to Egyptian mythology, according to Josephus, according to a number of works, Hermes, the Greek god, found one of those pillars with that ancient forbidden knowledge and taught it to Nimrod, and that's how Nimrod was able to become a mighty one in the earth, become a king of people, and actually become a false god of peoples. And so Nimrod used the knowledge of the watchers to build mighty Babylon, possibly the Tower of Babel, though the Bible never says that, but ancient writings do say that. And so God sees them building the tower. He says, let us go down and confound their language because there's nothing they can't do because their mind is set to it. So he instantaneously divides the world into 70 different nations. And so what you have is you have everybody
is there a reason why 70?
70, according to Deuteronomy, I don't know the reason, but the number, according to Deuteronomy 32:9, is the number of the children of Israel, 32:8. And the number of the children of Israel is 70, because that is the number of the family of Joseph who came into Egypt be with his family, Jacob, and to meet Joseph. So that's the number of the children of Israel, 70. And Deuteronomy 32:8 says he divided the nations according to the number of children of Israel. So what you have is Nimrod is the human god, and everybody's calling him God. And then instantaneously, the world starts speaking between 70 and 72 languages. And what you have is all these ancient names for a god, Osiris, Cupid, all these ancient gods, instantaneously 70 different names for Nimrod. But actually, all these gods are one and the same, and that is Nimrod. So out of mystery Babylon, out of the mystery religions of Babylon and Hermeticism, Hermes, who found the knowledge of the Watchers, all of our New Age movement, all of our theosophy, which was Helena Blavatsky in the World War II era with the Nazis, all of this enlightenment comes and roots itself in Hermeticism, the knowledge of the Watchers, that we humans are going to become as gods. We're going to become smart. We're going to become enlightened. And we are going to ascend into the cosmos and go become gods ourselves. And that is antithetical to the holy God of the Bible and the creation story and what Jesus Christ came to do for us. So that is the roots of what I'm talking about in the book, is these secret societies have passed this knowledge through the millennium. They're trying again and again and again, trying to usher in the battle with the Creator. And one day they will be successful in getting the battle, but they will not win it.
Wow. Wow. I mean, and look at the thousands of years that's been worked towards. The power, we'll say, of the enemy has risen, been taken down, come back again. I mean, when Israel left Egypt 40 years in the wilderness, and only a couple made it to the promised land. Then when he went into the promised land under Joshua, about a generation and a half served God, then started turning back on God again. There's nothing new about this as far as Israel or the world. They don't stay on the right track very long, do they?
No, sir. Again and again, as a side point, God has had his hedge of protection on Israel. And times throughout Scripture, God lifts that hedge of protection off of Israel and lets Israel get attacked. And I think God has his hedge of protection on the United States. And I'm sitting here saying to myself all my life, at what point is God going to lift his hedge of protection off of the United States? And so that's kind of a side point, but something I
want
to think about.
I agree. I mean, America, I think, is protection has been lifted off America quite a bit already, obviously. But we'll get that maybe later today. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, sir. No, let's see. So let's talk about the roots of some of the secret societies. Now, there's been a lot of secret societies throughout history. The Knights Templar is a root of a lot more than we think. The Knights Templar is likely the origins of the Freemasons, of the Rosicrucians, the Rosy Cross. of actually, I think the Templars had something to do with the founding of the United States of America. Let's go ahead and move on to that a little bit. The Knights Templar were created in 1109, and there were nine knights who were protecting pilgrims as they went to Jerusalem during the Crusades. And then in 1307, King Philip IV of France, trying to seize the legendary Templar treasure because France was bankrupt, he persecuted the Knights Templar. He arrested them all on false charges in France, and that was October the 13th, which was a Friday, and that is where we get the bad luck with Friday the 13th, was when King Philip persecuted the Knights Templar. So he conjured mostly false confessions out of these Knights Templars and basically snuffed out the order of the Knights Templar. But the Knights Templar lived on. They just changed their name. There were many other countries up to Scotland, all over Europe, that respected the Knights Templar, and they became different names in different countries. So they really based, after King Philip IV destroyed them, they really based in Portugal. And one of the theories, the Knights Templar had the Holy Grail. Now, the Holy Grail is the cup mentioned at the Last Supper. It's just a mention of Scripture, but it becomes this legendary treasure outside of Scripture. So the port of Portugal, one of the theories is that it means port of the Grail. The name Portugal means port of the Grail. There was a cryptic message from the King of Portugal when he initiated the Order of the Knights of Christ, who the Knights Templar became. And so what you see, and get to the point on this, what you see throughout history and throughout the world is the Order of the Knights of Christ, who are the Knights Templar, they spread their ideology throughout the world. What do you see in portraits of the explorers, Hernando de Soto, Vasco Cortez, the three ships that Columbus sailed on, the Niña Pinta and Santa Maria? You see Templar crosses on the ship sails. You see Templar crosses around the necks of those explorers. And so a lot of this stuff is rooted in the Knights Templar. And then we get, when you're ready, I'll get into Freemasonry in the United States. But what do you think about that?
Sure. Well, that's interesting. And I got a question. Did Knights Templar sort of start the modern day banking system?
Yes, sir. So they the international banking system, what they did was people wanted to go to the Holy Land from Europe. And so they could, but traveling with all your money was unsafe because someone would kill you and take your money or just steal your money. So you could deposit your money in a Templar bank in Europe. They would give you a secret code and a note, and only you would know the secret code. And on the note was something cryptic that applied to that code, and you would get to the Holy Land, and you would withdraw your money by giving them that cryptic code from your brain and showing them the piece of paper. So they invented the first international banking system. So also, you might be going this direction when we're talking about the end times and the World Economic Forum, Bilderberg Group, and people trying to financially control the world. You can easily say it had its roots in the Knights Templar banking system, though the Knights Templar probably didn't conceive of it back in their day.
You know, I study this somewhat myself, and not nearly in depth the depth you have. And I'm interesting, very interested, is because whether you realize or not, these are the workings of God and Satan in combat since the beginning, since the Garden. I mean, this has been an ongoing battle between Satan's minions and God's angels. This has been an ongoing battle between godly men and ungodly people. This has been going on for 6,000 years or longer. So this is nothing new, is it?
No, sir. Nothing new under the sun. As we talked about a little bit earlier, you know, I think that the angelic war against humankind, against God's creation, started, at least from our perspective, started in the Garden of Eden with the serpent trying to tell Eve and Adam they could become like gods. And it's lasted throughout history. And again, Jesus Christ did not just come to save us from our sin, but he also came to defeat these principalities of the powers of the air. Let me take a 2 or 3 minute segment to talk about my next book, Angels Eternal in the Spiritual Realm, and when we talk about Jesus defeating the princes of the air. Again, as I believe, I'm speculating. I'm reading a little bit more in the scripture than is literally written. So if people take what I say with a grain of salt, but I believe this is what's going on. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 7, 8, and 9, is when God hands the 70 nations over to, I believe, 70 different angels to rule over. Why do I say that? Because in the book of Daniel chapter 10, what happens in the book of Daniel chapter 10, likely Gabriel the archangel comes to answer Daniel's prayer, but he's delayed 21 days by the evil prince of Persia. This is a spiritual being. And he cannot continue until Michael the archangel comes and takes his place in battle. So we see in Daniel chapter 10 that there's an evil spiritual prince of Persia. We see there's an evil spiritual prince of Greece that's mentioned right after that story. And then in Daniel chapter 12, Michael is called the prince of Israel. So I believe that these princes we're reading about are the 70 angels that are set over these nations. Now, not literal nations, but people. So when we're talking about the Philistines in ancient times, that would be the region of Gaza today. The people who are living around Gaza today are the same people. The same prince is ruling them that was ruling them back in Christ's time, the Philistines. So these princes follow their people. It's not bound by regional borders. But anyway, that's my next book, Angels Eternal, Princes, War of the Princes. That'll be out in March of 2025. So that's a quick side note on that one. Fascinating study, and I love studying it.
Wow. You know, I did a teaching some months back at a Bible study on the prince of the powers of the air and the names of Satan's devils or Satan's generals and his, and we'll say, colonels and captains. Just like in the hierarchy of God's angels, they're generals and captains and whatever. Satan has his own kingdom, too, and they are, we know God's kingdom is organized. I mean, that's what he is. But Satan also has a hierarchy, does he not, that he commands over.
Yes, sir. And since you brought that part up, let me get a little bit into that. First of all, we will rule the angels one day. The New Testament says that we will judge the angels, as right now the angels are over us. But you know, when we talk about Satan's army and Satan's hierarchy, in my opinion, this is my opinion, actually, the New Testament does say it. I wish I could give you a reference off the top of my head. There are two different entities in which we war against. Demons and fallen angels are not the same beings. Demons and fallen angels are separate. The New Testament, I forgot the reference, but I hate to go straight to the Book of Enoch without referencing the New Testament. I'd have to look it up. But the Book of Enoch says that the Nephilim, the giants we read throughout Scripture, the giants that spies see, the giant Goliath, that their spirits, because they're half angel, half human, according to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 and 4, their spirits could not go to heaven. There was no place in heaven for them, so they were destined to roam the earth until the great day of judgment when the angels are judged. So demons are actually the spirits of the offspring of humans and angels. Now, fallen angels are the princes of the power of the air, the powerful entities such as Molech, we read about him in the Bible, Beelzebub, Baal, all these, Dagon probably of the Philistines. These are the fallen angels that are very powerful, and then they have their demons, which are their children's spirits under them. That's my opinion.
Well, that's a very good analogy, I think. But you know what always amazed me is that when Gabriel fought the prince of Persia, 21 days, he could not overcome him. Micah came down and took over the fight. But it amazes me that literally an angel created by God was not powerful enough to overcome the prince of Persia. Those demonic beings are powerful, are they not?
They are powerful. Now, Jesus defeated them. There's a couple of references in the New Testament after Jesus rises from the dead.
Hang on to the break. Don't lose that thought now. Hang on to the break, okay? Don't lose that thought. Folks, back at the break, your phone call next half hour as always. I found this fascinating. 844-769-2944. Any questions, comments?
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, or furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nemada Foods, the best in stable foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSG. Give Nemada a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemada.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. with organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana. We at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, that theme song I've had now for almost 31 years certainly fits tonight's broadcast. This is war. There is literally a war going on around us all the time, 24-7, have been since the beginning. And there will be until the end, until our Savior comes back and squelches puts the final blow on the evil empire and destroys it forever. But this has been going on since creation. And most Christians are not even aware of what's happening around them. They have no idea that we have demonic activity all around us, that we have literally witching covens and satanic covens, and we have child trafficking for child sacrifice. We have so many things going on that the normal Christian doesn't know about and probably doesn't want to know about, because it may make them think a little bit, and they don't want to do that. The ball game's coming on. I mean, these are things, folks, I'm saying that will make you uncomfortable if you have a heart, and they should. Go ahead. Now, you're making point to break. Go ahead and finish it, please.
All right. So, first of all, folks can get a hold of me. Check out the books I've written at marginalmysteries.com. Marginalmysteries.com. My first book was Ancient Cities and the Gods Who Built Them. The second book was The Earth As It Was, which is the Earth Before the Flood of Noah, where we talk about dinosaurs and creation, the sin of the watchers.
By the way, I'm thinking, I want to copy your books. I really want them. Don't forget that. Okay.
Absolutely. And the one we're talking about mainly tonight is Secret Societies, and that will be debut in March. You can go ahead and pre-order it at marginalmysteries.com. That's Secret Societies. And then we've also been talking a bit about my fourth book, which I started writing, but it'll be another year before it's out, and that's Angels Eternal. So real quick, let's make a quick point on what we started to talk about. on the theory of the Watchers and their offspring, the Nephilim. We get this in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took them wives, all of which they chose. Verse 4 says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after the sons of God came into the daughters of men. So that's scripture. I take that as inspired word of God. The book of Enoch, I do not. But the book of Enoch gives us more information about what's going on in there. And it says that the Watchers taught all kinds of forbidden knowledge to mankind. The Watchers are the angels. And then their offspring, the Nephilim, the giants, started to corrupt Elohim's creation. I believe they were mixing the DNA of animals and humans, chimeras. That's what we see in the ancient Egyptian gods, are half-human, half-animal deities. Talk about the Greek gods. But anyway, the four of the archangels, Michael, Uriel, Gabriel, Raphael, they see what's going on. They tell God, and God sends Uriel to warn Noah that he's going to destroy the earth with a flood. He sends Gabriel and Michael to bind Shemyaza and Azazel in the desert, in the pit in the desert, until the great day of judgment. And he sends, he sends Raphael to cause the giants to go to war against each other. So this is all non-canonical. This is all apocryphal. But you go over to the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18, 19, and 20. This is a scripture. Jesus dies on the cross in verse 18. And he made spirit instead of flesh. That means his body died, but now he's in the spirit form on the earth. For 3 days, Jesus is in spirit form on the earth. And then verse 19, it says, he went into the prison and ministered to the spirits that made trouble in the days of Noah. So here, 1 Peter is confirming what the book of Enoch is saying, and then Genesis on the other end. You've also got the book of Jude, which quotes the book of Enoch. I'm not saying the book of Enoch is inspired, but you do have multiple points in scripture, especially in the New Testament, backing up. What? In fact, even the book of Isaiah prophesies that the Messiah will go and visit the spirits in prison. He will minister to them. Now, minister is the wording of the King James. It's more like Jesus went and proclaimed his victory after he died on the cross. So Jesus does defeat these princes of the air. It's much like salvation in the fact that these princes are still here, but their defeat is at the day of judgment. So while Jesus did die on the cross and defeat them, it didn't happen immediately. It will happen at the day of judgment. So this is what the secret societies are passing on, that these princes of the power of the air are trying to do through the world's elites to usher in the final battle with the Creator. And while I'm there, actually, let me go ahead and talk about the Great Reset. The Great Reset is obviously a big part of that, and the Great Reset in the theory is that where the elites are trying to get the world population down to 500 million people from right now 8-point-something billion. So basically 11 out of 12 people are going to have to die for them to have their Great Reset. The middle class, the peasant class, has been the thing that has stood in the way of these secret societies having world dominion and ushering in the battle with God. The middle class and the peasant class has been so, there's so many of us, so what's going on in the United States today, I think they're trying to destroy the middle class through finances. I think the powers behind the scenes are trying to destroy the middle class so that we can no longer stand in the way of these elites trying to usher in the end of times.
Wow. We're going to do a follow-up. There's no doubt about it. But to move on now, folks, take your phone calls in about 5 minutes, I promise. 844-769-2944. Bring it up to the modern time. Bring it up to right today. We know that them presidents attended the Bohemian Grove. We know they offer sacrifices there to the great owl. And all these things, most people to us in the audience already know this, but they studied and read it and know about it or heard it on the program. We know that. But in today's hierarchy in this country, I'm talking about political hierarchy and powers that are, we'll say, in office right now, in authority right now, how many of those do you think are involved in, I guess you call it witchcraft? How many are involved in this?
Well, it depends on what your definition of witchcraft is. Now, what I'm going to bring it back to is
Satan worship and doing his will to fill his kingdom on earth.
Yeah. And people don't realize Satan worship doesn't mean bowing down in front of a physical
idol.
No, it
doesn't.
Satan worship is sacrificing your children on the altar to Molech, drinking their blood, things like that that happened in the Old Testament. So when we're talking about abortion, we are on people that do that. We're honoring these gods of ancient times, these princes of power of the air. We're talking about the sacrifices that people are making to them. We're talking about.
By the way, I make one comment here too. How about sacrificing our children on the altar of the public fool system that denies there's a God and teaches everything but godliness?
Absolutely. And we're getting into evolution is one of my pet peeves. Evolution is a religion.
Yes,
you have to have faith to believe in evolution. because no one has ever seen evolution happen. It's not science, it's a theory. And so no one has ever seen evolution take place. Now, when Darwin saw the finches, he saw microevolution. Microevolution is adaptation, dogs and horses adapting to their environment. That's part of God's creation. Microevolution. Macroevolution is Darwinian evolution, where a horse changes to a cat or a cow changes to a whale. That is macroevolution. That is, no one has ever seen that happen. The evolutionist magic wand is time. They're saying, oh, there's so much time, we can't see it happen. Well, guess what? That means you have faith. You are believing in something. That's called a religion. So evolution is a religion. At least I admit that mine is a religion. So that's one of my pet peeves. So, you know, God says he created the earth in 6 days in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. In 6 days, he created the earth. People need to ask themselves, why do they believe in evolution? Is it just to try to fit in with the world? That's not a good reason to believe any kind of thing that you can't see.
All right, you go ahead and finish your thought.
I want to get back on track a little bit with the secret societies. So what's going on today? Well, we didn't even get into the Freemasons in the United States of America. Let me give a few interesting points on this. First of all, Sir Francis Bacon was a European who was involved in the founding of Virginia, one of the colonies, and he was looking for a new country to be the new Atlantis, Atlantis reborn on the earth, to bring back the old gods of Atlantis. That is what Francis Bacon says in his book, New Atlantis. And so there was a movement to try to make America the enlightened society where the princes of the power of the air have full rule. Now, you've got, I'm going to make it easy for everybody. There's a lot more involved, but I'm going to try to make it easy by saying George Washington, he was a Freemason. He represented the God of the Bible. He represented what we would call Christian Freemasonry. Benjamin Franklin, on the other hand, represented enlightenment, and he wanted a Freemasonry. He wanted a God of this country that was based on ourselves, based on enlightenment. So there was kind of a war between, not a physical war, but between the Freemasons at the founding of the United States, between George Washington's brand and Benjamin Franklin's brand. I do not believe that the Freemasons are in control of our country today. I think they have a lot of influence over the current president and over a lot of politicians. Now, I was a politician for 8 years. I was only a state representative. I was on the national level, so maybe they never needed to try to control me, so I never really saw any of that stuff. But they're trying to control our country. They have not yet succeeded. And so I think if we ever give up our Second Amendment, our right to keep and bear arms, then we will fall, and I think the end would be near.
Okay. So the powers that be, we know Bush Sr. was part of the Skull and Bones. We know that. And we know that so many different things happened under different presidents. How involved today would you say most of Congress is in some type of satanic activity?
I would say it's half. Now, I can speak from the Tennessee standpoint. I was not in the federal government, but I was in Tennessee. And I would say we have 99 representatives in the House in Tennessee. And there were, I would say, over 40 of them that were just happy to be there. They got free alcohol. They went every night and had their free alcohol and everything else that they did. And they just enjoyed the party. And then there were quite a bit of us in Tennessee who actually fought for the people. You know, you got that split in politicians. And politicians are masters at telling you what you think you want to hear. So I know all kinds of politicians who claim to be good Christians back home and talk the right line. But in reality, they do not honor God in their daily living. So I think there's a lot going on. I think much more so at the federal level. Power is something that corrupts mankind. Power and money are two things that easily corrupt a good human. So if you are not rich right now, maybe you should thank God that you live a life where you're not tempted to stray away from him. He says in Proverbs, I believe, a rich man's wealth is his strong castle. And so you know, there are reasons to be thankful for what God has given you and thankful that he did not give you too much, because power and money corrupt.
Well, David himself wrote in the book of Psalms, just give us enough to give us enough for the day. That's all we need. That's why he provided in the wilderness was enough for one day at a time. That's all we need.
Anything more than that. Relying on God.
That's right. Exactly right. I mean, I'm not knocking those who are wealthy. If they're godly people and have money and they're using it to glorify God, of course. But the facts are the most wealthy people are not really involved in trying to serve God. They're out making a dollar. So with the hierarchy in the federal government, we'll say the so-called elected officials, half of them are more involved in Well, if you're not involved in satanic worship, they're nothing, nonetheless, they're still worshiping in the way they live. They don't care about anything but themselves. So what do you see happening in this world, in this country, in the very near future with these powers are in charge?
So this is an important point that I have recently come to the conclusion or the thoughts of. I think it is up to us. There are a number of times in Scripture where God gives humankind a choice. He gives Adam and Eve the choice in the Garden of Eden. But in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, man's years will be 120 years. We don't understand what that means generally from the King James Version. Now, again, an apocryphal book of Jasher, an apocryphal book, says that God gave mankind 120 years to repent, so he wouldn't send the flood. And so Noah and his grandfather Methuselah preached for 120 years. And the Bible does say Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So I believe that God gave mankind 120 years to repent, and he said that he would not send the flood, according to an apocryphal book. But we also see this in Scripture where the city of Sodom, where Lot says, Abraham says, if I can find 10 righteous people, if I can find 5, if I can find 1, and God says, I will spare them. So I think God gives us a lot of free will, and so I think that it's up to our generation, up to us, whether or not the end times gets ushered in, or we, as God's people, lead our friends, our family, and the people around us to love God, he might give us a chance. I don't think that that's 100%. I think it will happen. I just think it's up to our generation whether it happens in our generation or not.
Well, you know, I pray you're right on that, but from what I read and been doing this a long time, I don't think America as a nation cannot be turned around and saved. I don't believe that. I would tell you differently, but I can't. Second Kings 24:4 tells me that God will not pardon the shame of innocent blood, and that's what we've done many of that. Let's just take a quick phone call before we forget. Let's talk to Daryl in Pennsylvania. Daryl, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor Butch. Interesting guest you have on there, and I have a question for him. Are your books also available through Amazon.com? Because I get free shipping through them.
No, sir. They are not available on Amazon.com. I work for Southwest Radio Ministries, and they keep their books in-house.
Okay. 2 points. The first point is that Pastor Butch has an excellent book about Freemasonry, and do you still have some copies of The Grand Design Exposed, Pastor Butch?
Oh, yes, we have some left, yes.
Okay, he's got a book, 411-page paperback book, The Grand Design Exposed, written by a fellow West Virginian named John Daniels, his pseudonym, but his real name was Daniel Goodwin. And his widow let Pastor Butch have several boxes of that book. That book gets into Freemasonry and how the Jesuit order took over both French Freemasonry, British or Scottish Freemasonry, and German Freemasonry. So it's a very interesting book, 411 pages. If you don't have that book, you might want to pick that up. The other point is... and Pastor Butch, as I believe most of his listeners know this already, that Nimrod means we are rebelling, or let us rebel, let us revolt. It means that in the old, Akkadian and Sumerian languages of that area, but also it means that in the modern-day Iraqi Arabic, which I studied. And it means the same thing in modern Iraqi colloquial Arabic. It means we are rebelling, or let us rebel, or we're revolting. So that's an interesting point. But what's your guest's first name?
Micah.
Micah.
Micah. Good name, Micah. I think I've seen that somewhere in the Bible. But anyway... God bless you. Thanks for putting out good information like that. And you might want to get that book from Pastor Butch if you don't have it, The Grand Design Exposed. Thank you for carrying that book, Pastor Butch. And Pastor
Butch
carries a lot of good books, including several that he's written. And I would encourage everyone, that's a good way to support Called to Decision Ministries, is by buying some of the materials that Pastor Butch has there. And Pastor Butch, I'd like to ask prayer for Brandy. She's into drugs and alcohol and a bunch of stuff that she shouldn't be into.
Okay.
So for my friend Brandy, I'm asking for prayer. God bless you both, and thank you, sir, for bringing out these good points.
Thank you, Daryl, for the call. And, yeah, folks, do remember Brandy in prayer, please. And, Bobby, if you remind me, Mike, I'll send a copy of the book on the Grand Design Exposed. It's a very powerful book. And, folks, we have someone left. You know, we're letting them go. Well, they were basically almost a gift to me. I saw someone letting them go so cheaply, like $10 a book when they're 400-some pages long. Believe me, it's a book that will open your eyes to a lot of things about the Catholic influence in this country, to mention it specifically. I mean, huge influence in this country. I mean, you may know this already. I don't know, Michael, but the land where the Capitol, White House, was built used to be called Rome, and the guy that owned the land was named Pope. That's true. That's a fact.
Hmm.
So if you remind me, I'll see you a copy of the book. I think you'll find it very interesting.
Thank you. I'd love to take a look at that. And Daryl in Pennsylvania will pray for Brandy, I believe her name was, and since you study Iraqi Arabi, Masa Echeh.
Okay, all right. I guess he caught that. I sure didn't. But anyway, okay. So, and again, tell the folks how to get your books, where they can find your books, how to get a copy of them. Daryl wants to know that, I'm sure. And more about yourself, about your website. Just give them more information.
Yes, sir. So, again, I'm Micah Van Hus. I work for Southwest Radio Ministries. We do prophecy conferences across the nation. And so if you go to SWRC, Southwest Radio Church, SWRC.com, you can see the schedule of what we're doing next year. We'll be in Tampa in February. And that kicks things off. But, so Marginal Mysteries is my website, marginalmysteries.com. You can get t-shirts, you can get, my books, a number of things. I do about 2 YouTube videos every month. I post those on almost every single social media: Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So feel free at marginalmysteries.com. You can see the links to all of those.
Wow. Okay, folks, there's so many questions I could ask him tonight, but the line's open if you want to call it, 844-769-2944. And why do we, I've studied some of the Masons. I read the books on about the Masonic Order, and I've got Albert Pike's book on the Masons, somebody, and who Lucifer is. I know those things. I know basically, but why? I mean, are they still any power at all in the country in the Masonic Lodge, or is that just a more or less symbolic thing now?
So the vast majority of the initiates and low-level members of anything from the Catholic Church to the Freemasons, they do not know the secrets. The secrets are never written down for thousands of years. They haven't been written down. They have been passed through only the elites of those orders. We're talking about 33rd degree Masons. So the vast majority of Masons, they don't know what's going on. They believe that their order was from King Solomon, as we talked about earlier. But the elites know the knowledge of the Watchers. They know that Nimrod, the Regis Manuscript, is the oldest Masonic document, though the Masons weren't officially founded until much, much later. The Regis Manuscript was written in 1390 AD, so we're 800 years ago or so, 700 years ago. But most of the members just don't know what's going on. And when we get to the Catholic Church, we're talking about the Pope. I believe that the Catholic Church is the great apostasy spoken about. There are all kinds of things, as you mentioned, Rome and Washington, D.C., but the things in the Catholic Church for thousands of years. The Catholic Church became mainstream in 325 A.D., the Council of Nicaea, I think that was 325 A.D., when Roman Emperor Constantine, quote-unquote, converted to Christianity and made it mainstream. I don't think Constantine converted to Christianity. He was a terrible man. He murdered his wife, his son, his best friend, and he fed Christians to wild animals in the Colosseum. So I think Constantine falsely converted to Christianity, brought the Roman pagan gods into Christianity, formed the Catholic Church, and so Isis, the wife, Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod, who's a bunch of gods in ancient times, she becomes the Virgin Mary, and what we see in the future is the Virgin Mary is revealed to be the Whore of Babylon in the Book of Revelation, and Isis, the ancient goddess of the world. So I do believe that the Catholic Church, and that was only like 2 points on it, but we have a whole chapter dedicated to that and all the things going on, the Pope Pius X and Pope Francis, who both have called themselves God. I believe that Satan is the great deceiver, and Satan has nestled himself so close to the truth. He's like a snake at the foot of the cross. He has nestled himself so close to the truth to deceive almost the very elect. So, yes, I think that the Catholic Church is a great deception.
All right, let's talk to Gary in Arizona. Gary, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Butch. Good guest tonight. I'm not too good with names, but I'll get his name at the end of the show here today. You know, I would like to talk about something really quick. Most people know that when I call in, because, you know, I'm a person that goes out there and tries to stop women from killing their preborn babies, which is satanic. And so I do that, once or twice every week to expose that. But, you see, the shedding of innocent blood goes deeper than that. I mean, we know that people are still, these Luciferian types, will take a baby that has been born and sacrifice it.
Oh, yes.
But here is something that we never talk about. Pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these people, the Luciferian-led people, they know exactly what they're doing when they do this, too. You know, they'll get a five-year-old girl, a six-year-old girl, okay, and they will violate her. And that sheds that little baby's blood.
That's true.
That little bitty child, the blood. See, we don't usually, you know, connect those two. And so here recently, that's been on my heart. And so when I heard you talk about the shedding of innocent blood there, I just wanted to make people aware of that. You know,
Why do you think that our southern border is so widely open, and why are so many children coming across our southern border that are unaccounted for? I mean, that goes in exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, it does.
Well, these people are used up one side and down the other. These terrible, wicked people. I mean, look at Satan is alive and well in the United States of America because the church will not deal with it. See, they will say stuff like, we're against the works of evil, we're against this and we're against that. But you remember when Target had that
the homosexual
satanic
display
the homosexual. And so, you know, people did fight back a little bit about that. See, but it still goes on. It's happening right now.
Yes, it is.
You know, with people who have major displays and stuff like that, and they go and set up and they do that. Now, you know, here, you know, people...
You're running out of time. Get about 15 seconds. Got to hurry.
I'll tell you what. I'll give the 15 seconds to that wonderful guest you got.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Gary. Run out of time. One more time, tell us how to get your books again and your website.
Again, marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com. And we do cover adrenochrome and the unfiltered immigration in the book about child sex trafficking, where the princes of power of the air get some of their power from that. Gary's absolutely right.
Well, now, please, you have my number. Text me your address. I'm gonna get you. I want yours also. I'm gonna send you a copy of the book. I want yours, and I'll send you mine. Okay, and I'll be in touch.
Right,
I promise, Mike. And God bless, my friend. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow night again. Have a great night. And my goodness, folks, get on your knees and pray for guidance on all this. Our nation literally turned into hell. Let's stand against it in Jesus' name. Good night. Todd, I know he's going, but I want to tell you, I just read the.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen man.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.